Hey guys, Jeff here from besttechie.com with today's Techie Bites, episode number 2. Get ready to rock and roll. The first thing I want to talk about today is passwords. Yep, passwords. Super important pieces of information that you use to log into an account on the web, into apps, into anything that basically you create an account for. So, an app that I love and use every day called 1Password, it's available for Mac and Windows, Jack just announced the release of a checker that they've partnered with a company, a guy, his name is Troy Hunt. You probably have actually been to his site before. It's Have I Been Pwned is the name of the site, haveibeenpwned.com. And what they've done here is really actually pretty cool. They made it so in 1Password you can check to see whether or not a password that you currently use has ever been pwned before, has ever been hacked and used, gathered, and has ever been, essentially, whether if someone's account, doesn't necessarily mean it was your account that was hacked, but if someone's account was hacked and has the same password as you, it'll let you know. So then obviously if that's the case, you want to change it, right? So this is actually pretty cool, and they do it in a really interesting way, a way that's secure, but at the same time, helps you understand whether your password's secure or not. So what they've done is they've come up with this algorithm, called K-anonymity. Basically, what it does is it applies the password hashes, which is how 1Password stores your password in their system, using what's called an SHA-1 hash. And then it applies the first 5 characters of the hash to sends it to the server, where then it essentially then, if it finds anything that matches up with the first 5 characters, then it goes down a list and just compares one by one, essentially. The computer does this, obviously, much quicker than a human would, but it then compares how the exact hash, and figures out whether or not the password is a match. And if it is, it'll tell you, and then obviously you're gonna wanna change that password. So this is a really cool new feature out by 1Password. Again, the app is available for Mac and Windows. They also have a web version that you can use. It seems the new feature that they've released is actually only available on if you pay for their subscription-based service, as opposed to if you have purchased the app, at least at this moment. So it's just something to keep in mind. It looks really cool. Definitely worth checking out if you're a 1Password user. And stay secure out there. Today, an app named Robinhood, known for its free tradings of stocks and ETFs and options as well, without charging people for each trade, is now rolling out in a select number of states, including California, Massachusetts, Missouri, Montana, and New Hampshire, the ability to buy and sell Bitcoin and Ethereum with no extra fees. So compare that to other companies out there like Coinbase, which charge 1.5 to 4% in terms of fees in the U.S., now you can buy and sell cryptocurrency, well, limited amount of cryptocurrency at the moment, again, Bitcoin and Ethereum, for nothing. You can just, you can buy and sell and trade as fast as you want, essentially, using Robinhood. The app today announced that they are currently at 4 million users using the app, up from 3 million users back in November. And it also noted that they've done more than $100 billion in transactions to date. And that essentially equates, what they're, according to them, to $1 billion in commission fees being saved using platforms like Robinhood, as opposed to using a stock trading service like E-Trade or Scottrade, for example, which usually charge around $7 per trade, which obviously seems like a ridiculous amount of money to charge, per trade. Anyway, I've never been a fan of those things. I've used Robinhood in the past, actually, and I've actually I think it's a great app. It's a great way to get people involved in, you know, trading and learning about, you know, equities and things like that, and hopefully saving some money for retirement. It's a great platform. I still think that, you know, there's a need for having people like financial advisors and whatnot, but that's besides the point in terms of this particular piece of news. I think it's really cool that Robinhood is offering free trading for cryptocurrencies, including again Bitcoin, Ethereum. I think it's going to be huge. I think, you know, Coinbase has been growing massively since Bitcoin kind of just exploded in terms of its the number of people aware about it and also its popularity. Same with Ethereum has also driven people to using Coinbase because it's one of the easiest ways to set up a wallet and also to buy and sell this cryptocurrency. Now, I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do to combat this new Robinhood feature offering that they have. That being said, I think that they're going to have to do something. Because frankly, you know, when you're competing against free, it's very tough. And especially when Coinbase has not been known for, not having, you know, essentially they've been having their fair share of issues lately. They've run into issues with, you know, trading, with people getting locked out from being able to sell or buy, and just long kind of wait lines and queues and things like that. We're all related to cryptocurrency. So I'm curious to see how Robinhood handles, the influx of users who are going to be using it to buy and sell cryptocurrency. Clearly, cryptocurrencies are bought and sold at all times. There's no market like, that opens and closes as is the case with equities. So it'll be really interesting to see how things play out here. But I'm curious, have you bought any Bitcoin or Ethereum or any other cryptocurrency? Feel free to call and let me know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on terms of cryptocurrency in general. I think it's an interesting space. I'm still a little on the outside in terms of, you know, fully seeing whether or not cryptocurrencies will be the future. I do think that they have a future in the economy, but I'm not sure that they are the de facto future that people are making them out to be. That being said, I am bullish on the blockchain. I think that that has some wide-ranging capabilities there and will provide a lot of innovation in that space. And it definitely seems that people in the Valley and also in the tech scene in general are very bullish on it as well. So anyway, will you sign up for Robinhood? Or if you're in one of those states, you know, there's a wait list currently that you can sign up for. I've actually signed up for the wait list as well, but since I'm not in one of those states that they're launching, I don't have access to it yet. So definitely check it out, Robinhood. Cool app. It's also great just for trading. And let me know your thoughts. Here's a story for you. So since October, apparently, the emergency responders in Sacramento County, California, have apparently received over 1,600 false alarm 911 calls coming from an Apple repair and refurbishing site in the area. Now, if you can imagine, that's got to be pretty annoying. So here's apparently how it's happening. It's not clear at this moment whether it's iPhones or Apple Watches to blame that are making these calls. But as you're probably aware, Apple has built in the ability to basically press and hold a button on your iPhone or your Apple Watch to trigger and call emergency response services. So that way, you know, they can come basically help you if you need it, whether it be medical or, you know, some kind of other emergency. And it appears that in this refurbishing facility and repair site that these devices have been consistently calling emergency responders to come over and respond in not actually having an emergency. And according to the the people who are these emergency responders, it's actually impacting them, and when they have other emergencies happening, they have to have a, you know, a dispatcher or another 911 call that, you know, may have come in, but they have to put on hold because they're having to figure out whether or not that this particular time that they're calling is a real emergency or not. So it is a problem, and Apple should definitely get to the bottom of this and figure out, you know, either put in a system in place when they bring a device to a refurbishing or repair site, that they disable that functionality as like one of the first steps that they do when they bring it in as part of the whole process, assuming it can be disabled, that the phone is actually working. But I think that's clearly definitely high on the list of things that needs to be done before any work or, you know, checking of the phone actually takes place. But yeah, I'm basically what it brings me to the question is this: have you ever butt dialed or accidentally, you know, called emergency services because you held, you know, you were using your phone and you accidentally held down the button to do that when you were either playing a game or whatever the case may be? Feel free to call and let me know. I'd love to hear your stories. I'll add them obviously to the podcast. It could be any butt dial, actually. Let's open it right up there. Anytime you've butt dialed someone or an emergency service operator, let me know. Feel free to let us know. I'll look forward to hearing from you. Speak soon. Thanks for listening to this episode of Techie Bites. This has been episode number 2. I look forward to hearing from you guys. Feel free to call in. Let me know if you have any thoughts on topics or stories you want me to cover and talk about. Happy to do it. Just got to call in through Anchor. And, yeah, well, till next time, we'll see you. And remember, you got to take care of those computers.